I think Brother Bernard said it so powerfully today. When someone on the team gets complimented, then he gets complimented. When somebody preaches good that he has trained and he has built up, then he considers that a compliment. And so that is part of our leadership, is to grow others and invest in others. So it's been such a good time being with Brother Soto. I appreciate Brother Aaron Soto and the voice that he brings to our organization. I am looking forward to this final session, Brother Soto. And so come, and we are going to pray one more prayer as he comes. Lord, we ask you to anoint Brother Soto. Let this word of encouragement go forth. I pray, God, in this final session, inspire, encourage, uplift all of these leaders in Jesus' name. And we all say amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Coltharp, and thank you, Sister Russell and the Urshan team for having a vision for this meeting. This is so very important, and I also want to say that I'm grateful for our Urshan students who are here. I can tell you that not everything I learned in Bible school, and I went to a few leadership meetings, and it was important, and I think the conversation of leadership needs to be ongoing in our journey. In our final session, I want to talk to you about addressing our leadership weaknesses. And Brother Wisdom, we didn't talk about this, but you've been asking people about their leadership weaknesses, and I so appreciated you just sort of leading with this, because this has been a blessing to me, and I think it's important that we all are transparent about our weaknesses. We all have them. And some of our weaknesses are what I would call allowable weaknesses. But what about the leadership weaknesses that we have that are hindering the increase that God wants to see through us? I want to pose a question to you. What would happen if every apostolic leader, every apostolic volunteer, every apostolic administrator addressed their leadership weaknesses? How would that impact the outcomes that we are preaching about and that we're praying for? Now, I would like to bring to your attention just for a moment a Bible character, Samson. Nobody mentioned him as a leader that they would aspire to be in the scripture. And I think we kind of know why. He broke a lot of leadership rules. And one of those was, I was thinking, was he didn't have a team. He didn't have a team. He was the Lone Ranger. He was doing things by himself for the most part. And to the casual observer, it may seem that Samson's demise began when he met a certain woman by the name of Delilah, but it was not a seductive woman. It wasn't that temple that came crashing down or a Philistine plot that took Samson's life. It was, in fact, Samson who took Samson's life. He was the unintentional slayer of self. Samson never fulfilled his calling. He never delivered Israel because he never delivered himself from his own weaknesses. Samson's life teaches us that no matter how gifted we are, if we don't confront our weaknesses can become greater than our giftings. Our weaknesses can become greater than our giftings. Now, I'm going to begin this session by listing leadership weaknesses. And I want you to, if you can, write down maybe a weakness that sort of resonates with you, or it's kind of a bullseye for you. It's quite a list. It's not an exhaustive list, but we're going to be using this later, so it's important that you're attentive right now and just write down the thing that maybe you would say, this is a leadership weakness I have. Here are some of the weaknesses that came to my mind. The founder's mindset, or do it all. Do it all. Poor spiritual discipline. Lacking in prayer, personal prayer, study, worship. People pleasing. You say yes to too many things. Competitive or territorial. Disorganized or chaotic. Does not collaborate well with others. You'd rather just do it yourself and really not have to work with others. poor communication rhythm. Not good with meetings and tag-ins. Procrastinator. Am I going to see some pins moving on that one? Poor planner. Sort of run by the seat of our pants. Over-planner. Get lost in the details. Too aggressive with others. Confrontational, insensitive, intolerant. Unaware of how you impact others, so you're too aggressive. Avoids conflict. Avoidance is not a virtue. Lacking personal motivation. You have to be pushed to get things done, and you lack personal motivation. Low enthusiasm, no passion. Struggle with follow through. So you don't work that plan or you forget the plan altogether. Poor time management. Poor calendar management. Easily angered. Overly sensitive. Not relational. Struggle with interpersonal relationships. How about this one? Too relational. Too much talk. Too much fun, not enough business. Indecisive, difficult time making those decisions. Fail to equip. Little training or coaching. Struggle with the training or coaching. Do not respond well to correction. Mismanages conflict. Inflexible. Don't handle change well. All right. Is there anybody who didn't write something down? I didn't hit your weakness. Anybody? Anybody? Okay, very good. I was going to give you your weakness, pride. But anyway, now I want to be clear that with this lesson, we need to spend most of our time focusing on our strengths. It makes no sense to neglect the strengths that are resident in our life. God gave us those strengths and those giftings. I'm not saying that we have to neglect our strengths. Okay, but I am letting you know that we have to make sure that we address our weaknesses. We want to ensure that it is not a liability to our purpose and to our calling. Who's ever driven a golf cart? Anybody ever driven a golf cart before? We have golf carts at our camp meetings a lot of times, and I happen to be, I like to play golf. Brother Derek might say otherwise. He's played with me, and I don't think he believes I play golf. I was doing something else, croquet. But I've driven some golf carts. And how many of you have ever driven a slow golf cart before? It's just slow, painfully slow. Golf carts have this thing called a governor. And that governor restricts the speed of the golf cart. It's capable of more, but the governor won't allow it. And weaknesses that need to be addressed operate like a governor. They are restricting you. They're keeping you from operating at your kingdom capacity. And so, has anybody ever been on a golf cart where they took the governor off? My older brother, Analia's dad, is he can fix anything. And so whenever we were at camp, he would take the governor off of his golf cart. In fact, there was one camp where he took the governors off of all the golf carts. And it was quite a week, let me just tell you. And they had golf cart races and all this stuff. And so I just want you to know that it's amazing when you realize what the capacity and the speed is of a golf cart. And there are certain weaknesses in our lives that are that governor. And for that reason, they cannot be ignored. Like Samson, there are weaknesses that can become greater than our strengths, weaknesses that pose a serious risk to our kingdom purpose if they're not addressed. And so these are the weaknesses we must address. Everybody say address. Must be addressed. Now, to address a weakness means that the weakness is identified and respond to strategically so that the weakness is no longer a threat to you as a leader. It may never be a strength, but it's no longer a threat. Moses had the founder's mindset, the do-it-all mentality, but the weaknesses, or that weakness, was addressed with the help of Jethro. And he learned to delegate and power and decentralize roles and responsibilities. And so Moses responds strategically to the weakness with a practical and a sustainable plan. So we need to address our weaknesses. For example, if you are disorganized and scattered, you're kind of chaotic, that is certainly a leadership problem. Chaos is hard on teams. It's hard on planning. It's hard on relationships. Now, organization may never be your strength, but if you address this problem, either by making changes or learning new skills or empowering someone on your team to backfill that deficiency, if you do that, now you are addressing something. Now you're able to go forward. Now you're putting your best foot forward for the team. It's no longer a liability. Let's talk practically about how we can address our weaknesses. Number one, note takers, investigate your weaknesses. Investigate your weaknesses. Now, I understand that our self-esteem is intertwined with the discussion of our weaknesses. But remember this, to be transparent about your weaknesses is actually a strength. It's a strength for someone who's aware of their weaknesses, who's willing to talk about their weaknesses, who's vulnerable enough to say, let's have a conversation about my weaknesses. Number one, investigate your weaknesses. How do we do that? Well, we take inventory. We take inventory. You can take inventory and you can self-evaluate, first of all. Self-evaluate. Examine your past work. Consider how you've performed in your roles over time. And try to make a list from the times that you felt short of expectations. Self-evaluate. What are the patterns in your life? Self-evaluate. Here's another way to take inventory. Get feedback. This is one of the most effective ways. Team members are, likely going to better understand your work style. And they're going to offer you insights where you can grow. Talk to me. What do you feel my three greatest weaknesses are as a leader? Don't have thin skin. If you ask, prepare for honest answers. Don't shoot the bearer of bad news or be defensive. So ask for people who are on your team or close friends. What are some growth opportunities? Be open to hearing about those weaknesses. There's also performance metrics for our bivocational leaders. You're probably more familiar with performance metrics, but that is certainly an opportunity for you to evaluate weaknesses, because metrics can offer context for those self-evaluations or feedback that you're receiving. So you can access those metrics regarding your performance and review that qualitative data to gain a better understanding of any weaknesses that you have. There are emotional intelligence tests and strengths and weakness assessments and six-month reviews that you have with employers, and you can draw from performance metrics. So investigate your weakness, number one. We're talking about how do we address our weaknesses. Number two, I think it's important that we acknowledge our weaknesses, because I've had some frank conversations with people trying to address a weakness in someone's life, and I don't think they believe me. Have you ever had a conversation like that? And they just kind of feel sorry for you, and they just feel misunderstood. And they, for the life of them, can't figure out why nobody likes them. And why am I always getting in the middle of all this stuff? Why do people always put me in the middle of the drama? That this is always happening. And they just don't think that this stuff relates to them at all. They're just somehow a victim. So I think it's very important that after we're investigating, that we acknowledge. Now, there's another option to acknowledging our weaknesses, and that's denial. And sometimes it's easier to live in denial than to face the facts about our weaknesses. But there are problems with denial. Denial delays the solution. It destroys credibility with people who know better. We can believe our own lie. And denial allows weakness to decay into something worse. All right. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about my leadership weaknesses. And I'm just going to kind of go first, if I may. Now, I come from the direction of creativity. I'm one of those people who are known as left-brained. The weakness I've had to address in my life are you ready? Here we go. You don't have to write this down, by the way. Lack of organization. I overcommit myself. I say yes to too many things. I have a hard time gauging my own emotions. My emotional intelligence is very low when it comes to gauging my own emotions. I have a hard time visualizing time frames and calendars. That's a nice way of saying that I'm a procrastinator. I'm overly optimistic. And sometimes I don't face the facts as soon as I should. I'd like to call it divine optimism, but sometimes I'm just overly optimistic. Now, there's no benefit to me to ignoring the evidence of weakness in my life. There's no benefit whatsoever to be in denial about that. And the most effective leaders don't hide the truth about themselves. They embrace that truth. They embrace that truth. Now, for some of us, I was doing an exercise with I was doing some team training, and I invited the team to say, hey, let's talk about our biggest weakness. There was one team member who refused to talk about their weakness. And here's the 411 for all of us, okay? For you to admit your weakness, or for me to admit my weakness, it feels like a big deal, but the truth is your team already knows. Guys, you don't want to be in the only one in the room who doesn't know that you have a weakness. You don't want to be that person. So I think it's so important that we acknowledge our weaknesses, just as I shared with you my weaknesses. When we address our weaknesses, we've investigated, we've acknowledged it. I think the next thing we need to do is we need to bring that to God. Let's not just be clinical about this. We were created by God. And our strengths and weaknesses are as unique as our fingerprint. God created me. And 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10 says that he says, my grace is sufficient for you. He's responding to Paul, who's talking about a thorn in his flesh. We don't exactly know what it is, but this statement is just so transformational where God talks about the fact that my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather, Paul says, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So my weaknesses, when I bring it to God, I'm reminded he's the only perfect one. I am flawed. I am fallible. But his strength is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. And his strength is made perfect in my weakness. So I'm flawed. I'm bringing this to God, but I'm accepted. I'm flawed, but I'm accepted. I have weaknesses, but he is strong. I have liabilities as a leader, but God has wisdom for me. And God will show me what needs to change. As I talk to him, he'll show me what needs to change. And he will show me what weaknesses need to be a burden to me that I have that I share with somebody else. How many of you know that we're supposed to bear one another's burdens? We're supposed to bear one another's burdens. And there are people on the team that I'm privileged to serve who bear some of my burdens. And so they have giftings that are complementary to mine, or different than mine, I should say. And so they have strengths and giftedness where I have deficiency. And it's a protection to our church's mission, and it's a protection to me. And God gives me wisdom to know what I need to change and what somebody else might need to carry for me. And I know that's humbling. That's a very humbling thing. And I know that when I've had some conversations with the Lord, that's something he always calls me to, is humility. Humility. Don't isolate yourself. Don't try to be everything to everybody. Admit your limitations. Embrace your weaknesses. I place people in your life who are going to help you. So bring it to God. Fourthly, go to school on your weaknesses. Go to school on your weaknesses. And we can do that in different ways, but I think God has blessed us with great men and women who are mentors in our lives, and I think it's important that we speak to people, talk to people honestly about our weaknesses, and seek advice. Tell them about your challenges. Seek for their observations. And for our students who are here today, when you're meeting with somebody and you're trying to raise the bar by having some engaging conversations with a mentor, somebody that you highly respect, remember that the value of the conversation is determined by the value of the question. So be ready to ask good questions. And some of the greatest moments in my ministry came from elders and mentors when I was vulnerable. I had one of our staff members was telling me one time, Pastor, you don't realize this necessarily, but you are all business. You are all business. And so I went to somebody that I admire, and I went to a Terry Shock, and I said, hey, talk to me about this statement that someone made to me. And Terry Shock said, I can relate to that. And he gave me some really practical ideas about how to be more relational in the workplace. And he talked to me about 5-minute conversations. And he talked to me about text messages where you write the text that you want to send to somebody, and then you go back and you put in the salutation and the ending. In other words, don't forget the personal stuff. And so he just gave me some really good, solid advice. So that was a groundbreaking conversation for me. Go to school. There are resources as you identify that weakness that you can read that book, take that class, and become a more sophisticated vessel, a more refined vessel for the kingdom of God. Read, study. And I know for myself, I've never worked in the secular world. And I've always felt just a little bit out of place in having a larger team and having quite a number of full-time staff in our church, and just not really knowing what that all looks like. And how are you a great boss? What does that look like? Yes, we're a team and we're a ministry team, but I'm also, they look to me as a boss. How can I be a good boss? So I went to school. I've read books on leadership, and I've read books on business administration. I've had to backfill some of those areas, those blind spots in my life. So go to school. Go to God. Go to school on your weakness. Number five, build systems and traditions. Build systems and traditions. Set up a day-to-day system and tradition, or systems and traditions to enforce desired outcomes. So, for example, if your weakness is communication and you're really not good at getting back to people and staying connected, create a set connection time with team members on a certain day or time of the day. Schedule 6-month reviews or annual reviews with your leaders. Schedule times where you can have communication with your teams that's informal and relational. I know that I establish times in my own life where I respond to emails, mailings, phone calls, and I have set times for that. Switch to an online project management system that will minimize the need for meetings and operate as a command central for communications in your day-to-day operations. All right, so build systems, build traditions. Number six, be accountable. Ask someone to be a 60-day accountability partner in the beginning when you're trying to create better outcomes and you're calling yourself to better practices. Be accountable for 60 days to someone. Have them call you weekly to get an update on your journey. And if you're not willing to be accountable to change, you're not serious about changing. You have to be accountable to someone when you're addressing weaknesses. Be accountable. Now, I shared with you my weaknesses, and I have to be accountable to my own team. And whenever I bring a new member to our full-time staff, I'm transparent with them about my weaknesses. It's one of the first conversations that I have with a new hire. And I set them down and I say, I need to talk to you about some of my leadership weaknesses because you're going to find out about it anyway. And so I want them to be aware, and I want them to know that I'm working on it, and I want them to know that I want to be accountable to them. If you see me slipping with communication, if you see me slipping with organization, you can blow the whistle. I want them to have the freedom to talk about it. I don't want that weakness to become a liability in our relationship. I want to create a culture of vulnerability, and I want to help them understand that, you know, the best ways to be productive with me because of the weaknesses that I might have. I do a 6-month review with our team members, with our staff. And the first part of the 6-month review is my review of them and my assessment of them, my responses to them. But the second part of the meeting is their review of me. And they're able to talk to me about my performance as a leader. And it was in one of those 6-month reviews that our office manager said, I don't know you. I work with you, but I really don't know you. And you're all business. And my husband and I have never interacted with you socially outside of staff get-togethers. And I'm hearing this, and I was able to respond to that in that 6-month review. Here's another thought. Number seven, team build. Put someone on your team or empower someone on your team whose strengths work complementary to your weaknesses. So, for example, if you're a broad brush visionary type of a person, you may need someone to help with the fine brush aspects Now, that person may not be loaded with personality, or, you know, they may not have strong communicative strengths, but if they could have serious horsepower in the office getting the administrative things done so that broad brush vision thing can actually happen. If you are all about the details, you may need someone who has creativity, special abilities to think tank big events for you. I'm talking about addressing our leadership weaknesses, and I want to come back to my story, and I want to talk to you about some of the things that I've done to address my weaknesses. My lack of organization. I've put structure into my life. And I have hired highly structured people to help me with structure. And so if you look at my life is very structured. And it's all on the calendar. It's all on the calendar. And it's very, very important that I have this. Now, I know it's a little bit crazy if you were ever to look at my calendar, how structured it is, right down to putting in a couple of hours for a long-term project. But that structure is key for me to be successful as a leader. I am organized because I'm not organized. Does that make sense? I am. And people who visit our church often say, this is a very organized church. And I always let them know, well, I want you to know we're organized because I'm not organized. And so lack of organization. I've allowed for structure to be placed in my life and strong accountability. Overcommitting myself, saying yes to too many things. I have a personal secretary who tells me if it's possible to say yes to something now. Is it wise? Okay, it's possible, but is it wise? It's available on the calendar, but what about the week before? What about the week after? And so now I don't say yes when I receive an invitation. I let people know that I'm not, I need to have a couple of conversations before I respond. And so I have to deal with that type of an accountability because I have a yes in my heart for people. I just want to say yes to everybody and to every need, but that's not sustainable. My family would suffer. Our local church would suffer. So I have that in place. I have a hard time gauging my own emotions. And so sometimes I'm not wise about self-care. And my wife lets me know when I'm having a feeling. She will tell me. She will say, are you okay? When I come home occasionally, then I will say, yes, I'm okay. And she will say, you are not okay. I'm not. No, you're not okay. Let's explore this. And so she helps me. I have a hard time visualizing time frames and calendars. So I put projects into my calendar and schedule hours to work on those projects. I've identified my productive time of the day and maximized that time, and I minimize my lowest productivity times. So we're talking about procrastination. That's what we're talking about. And my most productive time is early in the morning. And so I have a tendency to go to bed earlier because I'm not productive in the evenings. And get up earlier, go to bed earlier and get up earlier so that I can maximize that productivity time. I'm overly optimistic. Sometimes I don't face the facts as soon as I should. So I've given the team that I'm privileged to serve the freedom to say, yeah, but. And they can offer counterpoints to my perspectives in meetings. So, a word of caution, have reasonable expectations about overcoming your weaknesses. One of the biggest morale busters is unrealistic expectations, and your weaknesses may never be a strength. Be okay with the fact that your greatest weakness is no longer a threat to your life, no longer a threat to your team, no longer a threat to your calling, even if it's not in the strength category. Be okay with small wins. Maybe reading isn't your strength, but now you're facilitating a monthly book study with your team. That's all right. That's good. That's progress. Maybe meetings aren't your thing, but you've carved out a few strategic meetings in your month to stay current with your team and events. So in conclusion, you have weaknesses that are allowable, but some are not allowable. They are a threat to your calling and a frustration to God's kingdom. Respond to your weaknesses. Shore them up to the point that they are addressed. No longer a threat to yourself, your team, your mission. You will not be good at everything, but you're already very good at a lot of things. Don't spend your entire life trying to make weaknesses strengths. Just make sure that they're addressed. So, I want you to take just a couple of moments. I want you to speculate and reflect, and I want you to write down what you think could possibly be your three biggest weaknesses as it relates to being a leader or a servant in God's kingdom. Go ahead and do that. Now, don't be shy. Let's go ahead and go there. Let's go there. Let's be real. I'm going to give you a moment to do that. All right. I want you to look at those three weaknesses and ask yourself, what could happen for the kingdom if I address these weaknesses? What could happen? And what happens if I don't address these weaknesses? How does that impact my life? Those are two very important considerations for you. Now, I want us to stand. All right, can we all stand? And I'm going to ask for us, I want this section here to stand in a circle here, and each section to just come to the front and make a small circle. Every section, stand with your section, stay with your section. Very good. All right. Now, this is what I want us to do. I want each of us in this small group to share one of your leadership weaknesses with the class, with the circle. And I want you to just kind of, you don't have to go long, but just say, this is what it is, and this is kind of why I think that. And then after every person shares their weakness and they kind of share their story, I want the whole circle to say, and we love you. Let's practice that right now. And we love you. One, two, three. And we love you. So after we talk about our weakness, we're going to say, and we love you. This is a good exercise. All right, let's get started. Let's start with, if there's a pastor, Let's start with the pastor, if there's a pastor in the circle. Finish up. All right. I hope that was a good exercise for you. I think it's liberating to be able to talk about your weaknesses and also to know that, you know, most people probably already know what my weaknesses are and they love me. And I don't want to have an internalized sense of disgrace about who I am, to know that I'm imperfect, I'm flawed, but I am loved. And to be able to talk and reflect about our weaknesses, I think, is a wonderful way to get started with to address those weaknesses. So I'm wondering if we couldn't just have a word of prayer together. Father, I thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity to just be together and have community. We didn't plan on talking about our weaknesses probably tonight, but God, it's a good thing. And Lord, we do bring it to your throne, and we do seek your wisdom. We want to advance your kingdom. Will you give us the grace, Lord, and thank you that you have all the power in heaven and earth, Father. We're looking and seeking that power. We don't want there to be a liability, Lord, to your kingdom. We don't want to be a liability to our calling, to the people that you've called us to serve. So I just pray that there would be a strong anointing on everyone here, that you would set in motion good things, Father, as we pursue your plan for our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. God bless you.